Well, there was one other issue I wanted to have you addressed. It's one we run Governor Jim Pillen's monthly call-in program every month, and he has been getting berated the last several months from callers regarding the issue of medical marijuana and whether it's the state dragging its feet on getting things implemented or moving the goalposts or whatever you want to call it. He's been taking quite a bit of a beating on that, where that still has not been implemented after being approved by voters. I wanted to get you to weigh in because I'm assuming that's going to get brought up again in the legislative session on how that gets implemented. And do you worry as a senator that if the state drags its feet and does not implement this on the medical side the way it was passed, that you know, the next petition is just going to be, well, if you're not going to approve it the way we passed it for medical, we're just going to send out a petition to make it legally recreational?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can operate out of the fear of what if. We have to, deal with the issue of the day. And here's really the frustration with this very specific issue, is it is being implemented exactly how the voters asked for it to be. So there were two ballot initiatives that were voted on. One was just for the legalization of medical marijuana. The second ballot initiative was for how those regulations were written and executed. And that is exactly what's happening, is what the voters voted on, which was for the Cannabis Commission to be the ones who decided what those regulations were to move forward, roll out, and regulate the medical marijuana industry. And so that's actually what's happening. And, you know, I think there was a lot of spin put on that this year in the legislative body because we had a couple of other issues that the legislature was tackling to try and that was one being paid sick leave was one, and minimum wage were two ballot initiatives that the voters of Nebraska voted on and passed, but there was not a specific direction for a commission outside of the legislature to sort of oversee that and refine the regulations. And so in that case, it is the legislature that does that, right? And with the medical marijuana, however, there was a specific ballot initiative voted on for how that was to be regulated, and that is exactly what is being honored. So, you know, I do get frustrated with some of my colleagues down here on the floor, or some of the misinformation that gets put out and that is a bit hypocritical. You know, hey, we don't want you touching these things and violating the will of the people, but Senator John Kavanaugh was sort of leading that charge. But, you know, hey, we do want to violate the will of the people on this issue because we don't trust who the governor's going to appoint. You know, so there's got to be some consistency here in terms of what, what people want. And in the case of medical marijuana, it is absolutely being rolled out the way the people of Nebraska voted on it to be rolled out, which is under the authority of the Cannabis Commission.
Well, appreciate that, and I see the governor did appoint two new members to the Liquor Control Commission, which I believe also are kind of having a say or serving in that other capacity. The one other thing before I let you go, Tanya, I wanted to have you talk about was the issue of that the EPIC, you know, the EPIC, which would, if for people that don't know, would have removed basically all income and property tax from the state's ability to generate revenue, and would have come strictly from a sales tax to be implemented and figured out by the legislature. That never really gained enough traction. They tried it as a ballot initiative. They did not meet the signature requirement, but I understand there's maybe a push for like an EPIC 2.0, and I wanted to have you weigh in on that a bit, if you've seen much about that and maybe where you stand as you've taken a look at that. But I know the basic premise is we're going to take away the government's ability to, you know, levy property tax, levy income tax, and strictly make the revenue generating tool or vehicle for the state and local governments a sales tax. So I don't know how EPIC 2.0 might have differed from the original, but if there's anything you have seen about that or can share, would certainly appreciate hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, I probably know about as much about that as anyone else in terms of, you know, the differences. I mean, I've just sort of read what has been printed in the papers as well and heard some folks talk about it at some different events. But overall, I would say this. It sounds very appealing to say, listen, we're going to get rid of all our income tax and all our property tax. I mean, on the surface, yeah, who wouldn't want that theoretically, right? But at the end of the day, earlier in this conversation, I know you pointed out that the cost of services, you know, the goods to provide those services that we expect from government, things like roads, right, and police protection and emergency services and fire response, the cost to do those things continues to go up, just like it does in our personal budgets, So we have to pay for that through some form of taxes. There's really nobody out there that would say we're going to live in a world with no taxes, because that would be a world with no government, and that would be chaos. So the question is how? What is the fairest way to pay for that? And the only tax collected locally that never leaves your county or your region, in the case of maybe an ESU or NRD, is property tax. And so if we completely rid ourselves of that, then I just want people to understand we are also completely ridding ourselves of any autonomy or local control. Because once we revert to a tax that is 100% collected at the state level, then we are all now beholden 100% to the state. So that's the offset to that plan, and that may be what some people want, and that's okay if that's what they want. But I do, everywhere I go, I try to explain to people that we're already in the minority down here in Lincoln. I am one of 17 senators fighting tooth and nail to represent 2/3 of the landmass of this state. We are in the minority in terms of votes, whether it's, doesn't matter what party you are, Republican or Democrat, just votes that represent rural versus urban, we are in a gross minority here in Lincoln. And so it would put us in yet even a more vulnerable position, in my opinion, in rural Nebraska, to be beholden to this same body for all of our resources to provide for things like schools, county services, fire districts, all of that. So I am not of the opinion that we should move in the direction to be 100% beholden to 49 senators sitting in Lincoln for every dollar we're going to get to provide for all of our local services. So I want people to be very cautious about that.
Well, and when the folks from came out and proposing that, you know, EPIC, the original, you know, it was very vague on what the sales tax percentage would have to be, and where it didn't hold water to me, and that I questioned was, you can't tell me that from a 5.5% state sales tax to a 7.5% or 8% tax, you can make up for all of the income tax and property tax revenue that you're going to lose. I mean, realistically, it was going to be left up to the legislature to determine that percentage. And you would be looking, you know, in just all honesty, at some kind of sales tax percentage of probably 20%+ by the, even if you remove every exemption and do all the other things, you would be looking at probably a 20% sales tax on everything you buy, which to me, from a business standpoint, would be about the scariest thing imaginable, especially if you live anywhere near a neighboring state where you could pop across the border and buy something that wouldn't have near that kind of a sales tax.
You know, my daughter lives down in Tennessee, and you know, Tennessee they don't have any state income tax. They have a marginally lower property tax than Nebraska. But boy, when you go out to get a dinner, I mean, I really started paying even closer attention. I sat and figured we went to just a little restaurant, and I think the meal itself, you know, for each of us was averaged around like $12 or $15 for a meal, right? It was not a high end restaurant, but by the time we paid our bill, I figured it out. It was over a 15% tax we paid on that. By the time it was, you know, the local, the city, the state, all the sales taxes that were on top of that. That was before you paid your tip, right? And so by the time you tipped your server and paid your tax, you were half your bill was in taxes and tips.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that perspective as well. So, well, that's another one we'll be following. But, hey, I appreciate your time. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. And we'll be looking forward to watching how things work at the start of the session. And we'll be catching up with you during the legislative session starting next year.
Well, I appreciate it and always enjoy being able to catch up with you. You know, I would just leave you with this, that I'm going to continue to apply common sense principles to the things that we tackle down here. And the end goal is, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, our state is providing for those basic fundamental needs of health care, access to health care, education, you know, infrastructure, you know, police and emergency services, but in the most efficient way possible, with the goal of leaving as much of your money in your pocket as we can.
43rd District State Senator Tanya Storer joining us here on KBRB. We'll be catching up with Senator Storer again during the legislative session.